That was Remembering Stonewall. It's a documentary produced by David Isay in 1989 and originally broadcast in the 20th anniversary of the Stonewall Rebellion. It is the first documentary in any medium about the uprising. And the time is 9:59 here at KBOO Portland. Stay tuned at 10:15 for Flashpoints today on the program. Dreamer Jesus Guzman talks about the Dreamers, immigration abuse, and this week's Supreme Court decision. Also, the nephew of slain Honduran activist Berta Cáceres speaks out. And at 11 o'clock on the Radio Zine, SW Concert speaks with documentary producer and investigative journalist Bill Curtis about the role of broadcast media in the education, the exposés of government surveillance by Edward Snowden and WikiLeaks, and the challenges and opportunities for investigative reporting in the digital age. And immediately following the next announcement, stay tuned for Air Cascadia. Thanks for tuning in to KBOO.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Green Day's American Idiot, produced by Triangle Productions. The two-time Tony Award-winning hit follows Johnny, Toonie, and Will as they flee the constraints of their hometown for the thrills of the city life in this energy-fueled rock opera. That's American Idiot, June 9th through July 2nd at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events. One nation controlled.
Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, June 29th, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, real radio for real people. at 90.7 FM and KBOO.FM on the web. Do, by the way, have a look at the new KBOO website. To say it is improved is a colossal understatement, but you have to see it for yourself to believe these changes. Weather today, not much changing in that department. Mostly cloudy throughout the morning, eventually clearing, highs around 78. And tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 57, northwest winds 5 to 10. And for tomorrow, cloudy skies opening up. And around mid-morning, we're going to see a bit of a clearing with a high around 77. And by Thursday night, more clouds rolling in and a low around 57. That's about it for the weather. We're somewhat consistent at any rate. And we've got some headlines today before we speak with KBOO's own Jamie Partridge, who we're going to talk about minimum wage, $15 an hour, and a recent, they're not the same thing as Jamie just reminded me, and the Department of Labor has come out with a really good page, Mythbusters, regarding minimum wage and $15 an hour, and why those who are sending up a false alarm about this and about how it's going to damage the economy and lose jobs and all of this, why they're wrong, why this is the best thing that the economy has seen for a long time. If you want a real false alarm, the so-called Great Recession, the mysterious creature that walked out of Wall Street in the dark of night and clobbered the daylights out of the American people, the unsuspecting middle class, decimated. Well, obviously, you know, if you see a tortoise on a fence post and didn't get there by accident, something happened. Somebody decided they wanted to corner the market on, well, the market. And they did so in aces. And we are living to regret it. Some of us not living to. And that's the sad side of this. Many other sad sides. Lane commissioners are thinking about blocking some ballot initiatives. There's a local official in Lane County who opposed the armed takeover. There's that. And we have, let's see, we have local, a lot going on, Lane County, of course, and then Harney County Judge Steve Grasty managed to no one's great surprise, survive the recall, even though he is planning on retiring. There was a recall that was started, a recall push by the occupiers who charged him with violating their free speech rights and their rights to freedom of assembly. Well, you know, the occupiers certainly did put a ding in other people's right to assemble at the Malheur Refuge, in that they did so much damage to the facility and the grounds around it that it's taking a while to get that back up and running. There were signs all over the place around Harney County calling for voters to reject the recall effort. A few of them supporting it were on the lawns of businesses. This is all over Burns, the county seat, and on ranch fences. This really came as no surprise, but it did serve as an affirmation that Grasty was indeed right and that he had citizens of Harney County behind him all the way. That said, we move right on to the Willamette National Forest has proposed new recreation fees and fee increases at many sites that would go into effect next spring. They are going to listen to what forest users and residents have to say. The proposal, of course, comes about because people are so unwilling to collectively do their fair share by pay in the form of taxes, supporting national forests, supporting protections for the environment and all the rest of it, all down the line. This idea that taxes is some kind of infringement on people's rights. Trouble is, it's a collective gesture, and that doesn't go down well these days. Washington is going to have to fix its salmon blocking culverts. That's the court ruling out of Olympia. In a case that could have big implications for dams and other developments in the Northwest, the Federal Appeals Court said that Native American tribes have a right not only to fish for salmon, but for there to be salmon to fish for. That's it. There are a few more headlines, but we've got Jamie Partridge patiently waiting on the line to talk about how families who work the hardest and carry the greater part of the burden of wealth creation in this country, because the top 1% don't create, they have wealth, but they don't create it. Somebody else does. And we at the bottom, the people who make $50 an hour, make minimum wage, or depend on that, even though it's a paltry sum of money. These are the people who generate wealth. Jamie, thank you so much for joining us again. It was a very last-minute invitation, and we're very glad that you're able to talk with us today.
Glad to be here.
Well, this is, of course... A big issue. It's going to be a very big issue as November approaches, and it's becoming, I think, it seems more difficult for conservatives, especially far right conservatives, to claim that raising the minimum wage and or instituting a $15 an hour so-called living wage, these things are going to be issues that paradoxically a lot of their voters, as Donald Trump put it, the uneducated, he does love the uneducated, this is going to be questioned on all sides. Do you want to talk a little bit first off about, I speak of the minimum wage and $15 an hour as if they were one and the same, and they're not. It's simply intellectual laziness on my part. You want to just cover that a little bit and talk about the importance of an actual $15 an hour living wage?
Well, sure. The Oregon Center for Public Policy has done a study, as well as other national related think tanks like the Low Income Housing Alliance and the Alliance for a Just Society and University of Washington School of Social Work, to find that across Oregon, whether urban or rural, at least $15 an hour is needed to be able to pay expenses and folks not to go into debt and not to have to go to the food pantry. And certainly in Portland, it's more than that. In Portland, $18-$19 an hour are for a full-time worker are necessary to be able to pay the average rent for a one-bedroom apartment in this town, which is creeping up around $1,200-$1,300 a month. So currently the minimum wage is going up to $9.75 as of July 1st. And the legislature did pass a law in the February session to raise the minimum wage in the Portland metropolitan area up to $15 over 7 years, which is too slow.
Of course, and by that time, of course, cost of living has inevitably will have gone up. So
the rents are going up 15%. Per year in Portland. Yeah. It's outrageous. And so we have to do something. We have to do more. And we were unable to continue our ballot initiative for November because the legislature undercut our support with their three-tiered minimum wage now. Well, Portland, as I said, is going to 15 over 7 years, but the rest of the valley, like Eugene, will only go as high as $13.50, and in the rural areas only $12.50, and that's again over 7 years. So we have to continue this fight for 15 and more, and we're doing that in the Portland area in various ways. We have a campaign going at Portland State University where there are thousands of workers that make $10 an hour. We're doing it at the airport. We're doing it with janitors. There's a Justice for Janitors campaign where 1,800 janitors who work in downtown Portland are fighting for 15. They actually just voted last Friday to 100% to approve a strike this week if the contractors don't agree to a $15 minimum wage. So we'll see how that shakes out. And then, of course, there's the Burgerville Workers Union who are organizing for a 15. So the fight for 15 continues.
That's about pretty much all we have time for. I wanted to ask you maybe at a future date about the nature of the opposition to these moves to bring some paltry amount of economic justice to people who need it the most, who work the hardest. That's something that's so rarely spoken about, except for, of course, the work that you do. You want to just give listeners suggestions or the websites, sources to go to support your work?
Sure. 15nowpdx.org is the website for the 15 Now campaign in Portland. And there's all the arguments there about how it raising the minimum wage does not impact employment or prices. Are all the scary things that the employer class claims, but in fact, when people have more money in their pocket, they spend it locally, and businesses thrive. And we can see that happening in Seattle and San Francisco, other places that they've gone to 15.
Thanks so much for that. This is my guest has been Jamie Partridge, and this has been Cascadia for Wednesday, June 20th. I really have to just get a couple of things in. Military UN vehicles have been scaring the whatnots out of people in West Virginia, and the door knock police, FBI in Cleveland are scaring activists by going door to door knocking and just to see what they're up to.